are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy start of a new week. Hopefully you had an outstanding weekend. Off the top, I'd like to make everyone aware I'm broadcasting, if you will, from a, or I guess recording from a, from an alternate location today, an offsite location. And so if there's a little bit of ambient noise, that could possibly be the beautiful sounds of Minnesota in the summertime. So enjoy that, I guess, if I can't get rid of those background noises. But today I'd like to do a quick NBA bubble update and then talk about one of those crazy conversation starters that the good folks at Bleacher Report seem to give us on a more than once a week basis, a hypothetical trade that, of course, won't happen, but theoretically could, based on moving pieces, based on the salaries, based on, functionally it could happen, but a lot of things would need to break right, and it's definitely not going to happen, but let's talk about it anyways type of a thing. A fun fantasy, if you will, though, that I guess one of the few top players in the league that technically could be traded to the Wolves based on salaries. And there's maybe a little, just a tinge of possible reality there in the future. So we'll get to that here in a minute. First, though, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Do not forget the T. Okay, so the NBA bubble got underway last Thursday. This is, of course, the following Monday. So there's a handful of teams that have already played two games as of this recording. There's a few that have only played one. And there's been a few significant things. Of course, there's all the standing versus the kneeling for the national anthem. In the first round of games, there was a handful of guys who chose to stand, some players and coaches. And one of those players being Jonathan Isaac. And unfortunately, he then tore his ACL on Sunday in Orlando's second game, I believe. And so he is obviously out well into next season now too. And they are, the Magic though, incidentally, are 2-0. So, but that's a huge blow to them. I talked about Aaron Gordon the other day on this podcast and about how really Jonathan Isaac has made more of an impact arguably than Aaron Gordon this year for the Magic, as they've had somewhat of a resurgence and certainly some growth. So, anyways, that's one of the headlines from the weekend. One of the other headlines, I guess, would be the New Orleans Pelicans were playing so well in the scrimmage portion of the Orlando bubble schedule, and now have not looked good thus far in the real games, the seeding games, if you will, that count. They're 0-2, and were just buried by a barrage of three-pointers from the LA Clippers, outside of maybe Memphis, Phoenix, Sacramento, I guess the Wizards. They're one of the most disappointing teams so far in the bubble. Milwaukee's continue to look great. They are just 1-1, but they were up on Houston, ended up losing while still holding the Rockets under 40%. James Harden had an inefficient game, and the Bucks are not at full strength. They don't have Pat Connaughton. They don't have Eric Bledsoe. They've looked good so far nonetheless. The LA Lakers are also 1-1. The Clippers are 1-1. And Montrezl Harrell just left the bubble. His grandmother passed away, I believe, so he's not available. Lou Williams has not played. Patrick Beverley's on a minutes limit, or has been on a minutes limit. Harrell should be back, I would think, by the end of the seeding games, but who knows? Despite otherwise being mostly healthy, obviously having Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, this team's obviously still very dangerous. Toronto had won the first game as of this recording. Houston's 2-0. Miami's 1-0. Denver lost the one game. Of course, they're really banged up. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton all out. And they're full squad, not even close to a full squad. So those are the teams, I guess, with the most notable headlines to this point. Philadelphia is had 41 points, 21 rebounds from Joel Embiid, but apparently their team is continuing to not really get along altogether. Al Horford, Josh Richardson have continued to be disappointing additions. Again, through just one game in the bubble, it's just been more of the same. And TJ Warren scored 53 points on them. And as the Pacers defeated the Sixers in the lone game Philadelphia's played so far. So they have been anything but impressive. The Jazz continue, of course, we knew they weren't going to have Bojan Bogdanovic, but he, of course, didn't play. They're 1-1 through two games, and their offense has been really disappointing. Dallas is 0-2, and it looks like they're going to end up with the seventh seed in the West. And we're up big on both Houston and Phoenix, but lost to both of them. Obviously, that loss to the Suns is going to hurt now that they're almost certainly going to meet with the LA Clippers in the first round of the playoffs once that gets underway here in a couple of weeks. So those are the major headlines from the bubble. You know, we're only 1.5 games in, I guess, if you average out all the teams. So there's obviously a lot more to be done, a lot more that's going to happen here in the next few days. So we'll kind of keep a pulse on that. Maybe every 2 or 3 days we'll check in on the bubble and give kind of a quick overview and synopsis of what's going on. Obviously the Timberwolves aren't part of it, so I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I think the high points, who's hot, who's not, who's been disappointing, who's been impressive, are the sorts of things that that we'll continue to talk about on this podcast. Obviously injury news, anything major, we'll keep a finger on the pulse of that. So that'll be something we keep an eye on. All right, before we get into the conversation surrounding, some kind of honestly made up rumors, but still an interesting conversation piece. Before we get into that, let's talk about our new friends at CBDMD. It doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete, a stay-at-home parent, or if you spend 8 hours a day in an uncomfortable office chair, everyone needs support to make it through the day. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge when life gets chaotic. CBD Freeze with Menthol is an award-winning product that offers instant cooling relief for muscles and joints in a convenient and easy-to-use roller or shareable squeeze tube. CBD Recover combines CBD with inflammation-fighting compounds like Arnica and vitamin B6 to give you the support you need where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try this amazing duo of topicals and everything else CBDMD has to offer, they're offering all of our listeners 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD oil products from CBDMD. All right, before we get too deep into this hypothetical trade that I want to spend some time on today, I want to talk about a poll that was done here at the Locked On NBA Network across the network, all of the hosts of our NBA podcasts. Similar to the discussion we had last week related to NBA awards and what those results were, I want to talk through the poll regarding who will win the East, who will win the West, and who will win the finals. I'll give you the results of the Locked On NBA Network host poll, and then also my thoughts on who will win both conferences as well as who will win the championship. For who will win the East, the winner of this was unsurprisingly the Milwaukee Bucks at 61.5%. The Toronto Raptors finished at 26.9%. Of course, they're not going anywhere. They're not going away. The Celtics got 11.5% of the vote. Didn't really talk about Toronto, just kind of breezed past them earlier in the first segment here, but they are 1-0 so far. They're they're in the conversation certainly because they had 47 wins when the or 46 wins, I guess, when the shutdown happened. Kyle Lowry's been awesome this year, and there's kind of this nobody believes in his vibe around the Raptors. Of course, they're a very different team than they were a year ago, but you can't completely count out the defending champs. I was still a little bit surprised that they finished so high in this polling, 26.9%. My take on the winner of the East is the Milwaukee Bucks. I think that they're, at this moment, the best all-around team with the best player in the NBA. So I think it's obvious to pick them to win the East. We could talk about matchup problems potentially with whatever winner comes out of the West, which we'll get to in a second. But to pick them to win the East for me is a pretty easy call. So I agree with that polling, and I'm surprised the Raptors were such a distant second or a solid second over the Boston Celtics, who only got 11.5% of our vote. For who will win the Western Conference, the LA Lakers finished with 46.2% of the vote. In our poll, the LA Clippers at 42.3%. I don't have the full breakdown in front of me, but I'm guessing that's only one vote. So the Lakers would have edged the Clippers by one vote for the winner of the West, with the Houston Rockets at 11.5% in third place. This seems about right to me. I'm a little surprised the Lakers didn't have a bit more of an edge. I full disclosure, this voting happened before the Montrezl Harrell news broke about him, you know, certainly missing the next few games. Unclear what kind of impact that may have on the playoffs. They're pretty locked into the number two seed, and Harrell will almost certainly be back in time for playoff play. So I don't know how big of an impact that would have. I think I go with the Lakers here. I would vote the way of the Clippers based on when this poll was done. I think the Clippers are the better, more well-rounded team. However, I'm going to go with the Lakers. They have, you could argue both LeBron and Anthony Davis are better players right now than both Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I guess that would be the simplest way to put this. If you're just taking the team whose best players are the best players. But I also think the Lakers, the way that they play, they'll be able to get past the Clippers and come out of the Western Conference. The Clippers have a lot of depth, but in a short playoff series, it's not going to help them quite as much, whereas the Lakers are more top heavy. And I think that they'll get the job done when those two match up. But it won't be, certainly won't be easy. As far as the championship vote, this is way more interesting. The Clippers actually got first place in the vote for who will win the championship, 34.6%, followed closely by the Lakers at 26.9%. The Bucks, who got by far and away the most votes to win their conference at 61.5%, only have 19.2% vote to win the championship, meaning that basically everyone knows they're going to win the East, but people don't have confidence in them beating more experienced teams like the Lakers and Clippers. Of course, all those stars I just mentioned, Kawhi Leonard, who won a title last year and has been in the playoffs, I think every year of his career, Paul George, who of course has been in the playoffs more often than not, LeBron, obviously, Anthony Davis, that those guys are going to be better than a younger Bucks team down the stretch and into the playoffs, relying on an unproven on the final stage, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So the Bucks are in third at 19.2%, the Rockets in fourth at 11.5%, the Raptors, the only other team with votes at 7.7%. For this particular question, this is a tough one. I tend to agree that the Bucks could have some stumbles in the playoffs, facing some, you know, the Western Conference is, quite frankly, a lot better than the Eastern Conference. The Bucks haven't had to play some of these teams more frequently like the Clippers and Lakers have. So I think that there's something to be said for the Bucks potentially struggling when they get to the finals. If I had to pick a team to win the championship, I vote for the Bucks, just because I still think that all the way around they're the best team. However, the winner of Clippers-Lakers, who most people seem to think will be the Western Conference Finals matchup, will certainly have a shot at beating the Bucks in the finals, and it should be fascinating to try and see Giannis and maybe a little bit more of a balanced and less star-laden team coming out of Milwaukee taking on one of the two LA teams. There's obviously some market. It's going to be a lot different, actually, not playing in Milwaukee or LA, but having the market battle there, the small market versus big market, the unglamorous, unsexy Milwaukee versus LA. And then also Giannis, this kind of consensus best player in the league, the new kid, you know, the one who's now kind of crowned as the new king of the league, MVP, all that, taking on LeBron or taking on Kawhi and Paul George. Kawhi, you know, last year's champion with the Toronto Raptors. So there's a lot of interesting matchup potential, and it really doesn't matter from a pure basketball fan standpoint whether it's the Lakers or the Clippers taking on the Bucks. Either way, it should be a fantastic finals, and that's something that we all absolutely have to look forward to. All right, next up, I do finally want to get into this hypothetical trade. I only want to spend the one segment on it, but kind of get deep into what the trade is, if it's something that could ever happen, and if it's something that either team on either side of this thing would actually be interested in consummating. Before we do that, a quick shout out to our great friends at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person at the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com both at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, it's about to get real hypothetical. Of course, we've talked about some rumors with some actual rumor-like validity behind them in the past few days. The Aaron Gordon conversation has cropped back up. Of course, he was a player legitimately rumored that the Timberwolves have had conversations about back when they were trying to deal Robert Covington late January, early February, before ultimately, of course, they dealt him in the three-team deal that brought Malik Beasley, Juancho Hernan Gomez, and others to Minnesota. But Aaron Gordon cropped back up. We've talked about other possible moves. We've talked about the Al-Farouq Aminu idea. We've talked about other trade candidates that the Wolves could look at. This is something entirely different. This is coming out of, yet again, a Bleacher Report article, because it's the gift that keeps on giving for these interesting ideas to consider, but then like really dive deeply into from a basketball perspective. Do they make sense at all? This article is entitled, it's written by Greg Swartz. This was last week, like midweek, entitled Every Non-Bubble Team's Best Trade Package for Giannis Antetokounmpo. So great timing. I mean, certainly this piece got a ton of attention, and here I am talking about it. So there you go. It's really unlikely, of course, just setting the stage, that the Bucks are going to trade Giannis Antetokounmpo. Of course, he can become an unrestricted free agent next summer. So after this next season, whenever it takes place, and I guess whenever the offseason is, maybe I shouldn't say summer, for 2021. He, of course, in the past has professed his love of being in Milwaukee, his desire to stay there. Seems unlikely that he will leave. It seems unlikely, at least probably even more unlikely, that the Bucks would trade him. I think you go through another season with him and you do what you can to extend him, and you know, you take that gamble. You get one more year with Giannis, especially if this year ends in anything close to a title, which it should. They're already, you know, have the best record in the league. So this writer here, Greg Swartz at Bleacher Report, chose to make a trade for every non-bubble team and explore what they could offer for Giannis. Of course, the Giannis angle of this, or I should say the Bucks angle, is of course they're going to start by saying, hey, you know, we need Karl-Anthony Towns. They may go to we need D'Angelo Russell. Of course, the Wolves, you know, I don't know that I'd trade Towns for Giannis because you already have Towns on this contract. I mean, I think I probably would, but the Wolves wouldn't do that because they'd also have to give up other assets, and you have to make, you know, there'd be so many other moving pieces. I don't see that being a realistic thing. So the Wolves, of course, if this were going to be at all possible, would want to add Giannis to Towns and Russell without including, of course, either one of them in a trade. So the proposed trade by Swartz at Bleacher Report is as follows. Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, James Johnson, of course, for salary purposes, and he's an expiring contract. Their own 2020 first-round pick, their Brooklyn Nets pick in 2020, their 2023 pick, and 2025 pick. Of course, the Wolves have already traded their 2021 pick, and because of the step-in rule, the Wolves are unable to trade consecutive first-round picks, so they would then retain their 2022 and 2024 picks and trade the 23 and 25 picks. So this is four first-round picks: Culver, Okogie, and James Johnson. We talked about this in the Aaron Gordon conversation on Friday. The only players on the roster with real trade value that aren't Towns, Russell, or the guys that are restricted free agents, Hernan Gomez and Beasley, are Culver and Okogie. And then James Johnson, I guess, his expiring deal, mostly because it's an expiring deal. So the only way this happens is if somehow the Bucks feel like they don't have any other good deals, and maybe they really like Jarrett Culver or Josh Okogie, or they, you know, I guess, like the idea of these first-round picks. Of course, if you're trading Giannis to a team that already has Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, for that matter, I mean, those first-round picks are going to be late first-round picks because the Wolves would instantly be the favorites to win everything if you had both Giannis and Towns on the same team. So there's really no world in which this works. Swartz is correct that it's possible the Bucks explore this. They certainly will get phone calls about it from teams trying to pounce and get Giannis in a deal. But it's really unlikely that the Timberwolves would do this. In fact, Swartz even hedges this a little bit from the Wolves' side and said that Minnesota would then try and put protections on some of the future firsts, and the trade's really only worthwhile if they can do that, which is, of course, ridiculous. If you can get Giannis Antetokounmpo on your team and not trade Karl-Anthony Towns, especially, I don't care how many firsts you're giving up. You can give firsts up every other year for the next decade, plus Culver and Okogie. Like, you figure it out. I mean, you put Giannis and Towns on the court at the same time and add a little bit of shooting on the wing. You know, you obviously still have D'Angelo Russell. It doesn't really matter what you do. You're going to be a playoff team. And if you're good at building the rest of the roster, you're going to be a championship team. at least once. So the idea that they would have to protect some of these picks is just insane. I suppose once you get into 25, 26, you're talking about when Towns becomes a free agent, and Russell actually only has 3 years left on his deal. So I guess maybe the 2025 pick you ask for some protections, but in 20 and in 23, who cares? You're going to win the title one of those years. So just a fascinating conversation. The Wolves, of course, don't have the best offer on this list. I mean, there's plenty of other offers that would be preferable if you're the Bucks. I mean, it's possible. They likely would prefer. I mean, the proposed trade offer from the Cavs is Colin Sexton, Kevin Porter Jr., Kevin Love, and a first for Giannis and Arseni Ilyasova to make the contracts work. I suppose if you're rebuilding, I mean, the only reason you're trading Giannis is if you think he's unhappy and you recognize you might need to rebuild in some way. I guess, you know, you don't really want Kevin Love, but Kevin Porter Jr.'s got insane upside. Colin Sexton hasn't been great, but he's got some upside. I think you'd even rather have the trade from the Bulls, Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White, and Thaddeus Young. Because again, if you're getting four firsts from the Wolves, yeah, the two firsts this year, I guess, are good, but your ones in 23 and 25 aren't going to be great. If this were at all possible, if the Bucks were at all resigned to the idea of trading Giannis Antetokounmpo, they aren't going to do it for the Timberwolves, you know, former first round picks and future first round picks, you know, combining Culver and Okogie with these picks. I just don't see it. However, you can bet that that's probably right in line with what Gerson Rosas would start asking. You know, he would offer. Maybe he probably isn't going to offer all four firsts right away because that would be not a good way to manage a front office. But he could end up there and be very happy with trading four first-round picks, Culver, Okogie, and an expiring James Johnson for the best player in the world. That's something you do every day of the week and twice on Sunday, no question about it. But a fascinating thing to consider. No doubt we're going to see a lot of this. Timberwolves fans should understand how Bucks fans feel. If Bucks fans are sensitive to this, it's absurd given the fact they're about to make a run to the finals. But people have been talking about Towns being traded for years, and it's only going to ramp up, especially if the Timberwolves aren't a 45, 48, 50 win team this year with Russell and Towns together. We're going to hear a lot more about the possibility of Towns being traded, whether we like it or not. And no matter how unrealistic it is that Gerson Rosas would take this job and turn around and trade a Karl-Anthony Towns who's already under contract for four more years. But at any rate, I digress when it comes to the Towns conversation. That's a conversation we've had here and we will have again another day for sure. All right, that's all we have for you today here at the Locked On Wolves podcast. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, of course, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.